He's Jason Leisure. I'm Patrick Finley. Jason, coming up.
No. We're not going in this mopey and sad.
All right, coming up.
Remember, angry? No, we're not happy either. Patrick, come on, man. You watch the game. Angry.
Oh, my God, Jason.
Like times a thousand.
Oh, my God, Jason. Coming up, we will talk about whatever sort of display the Bears put on against the Patriots Sunday at Soldier Field. That and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason, the Bears lost 19-3, and I'm not sure it was that close. The offense looks broken. The quarterback's on his back. Bears defense that prides itself in takeaways got one, but only when the ball was thrown right into their hands. The team that would have drafted first were the season to end today absolutely whooped the Bears on their home field, giving them their first loss at home in over a year. Just a thousand kinds of bad here, Jason. Where do you want to start?
Worst team in the league.
Yeah.
And the Patriots are, and a team that probably be happy to finish the year drafting number one because they're not going for anything this year. I mean, it's almost as if they came into Chicago and won by accident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't help them to win the game. No.
I think we start with Matt Eberflus, who I feel like has been on the hot seat almost the entire time he's been here. Even that first year where you understand it's a burndown year, just a disaster. I mean, what was the losing streak over the course of 22 to 23?
14 games.
14 game franchise record, 14 game losing streak. I think that was their worst record in franchise history. Last year is the first, if you want to call it the first real year for Matt Eberflus, and that went so badly.
Right.
On the field, off the field, coaching decisions, player development with Justin Fields, with everything, with Luke Getsy, just every decision blowing up in their face. And you kind of saw him as teetering in his job security at the end of that. They bring him back, Pat, and I don't know what's better. I don't know what's better besides the beard and the haircut with him, because this is as bad as it's been. You could make a case, this is for sure their worst performance this season. You can make a case for this being the worst performance by the Bears under Matt Eberflus, period.
Expectations are a hell of a thing, huh? You know, it's bad because of what was expected. What was expected was having a defense that could win you a game on any given Sunday, which I do think they have, although
they held them to 19. You should win that.
Yeah, they're a crack showing in the run defense, obviously. And an offense that is dynamic, and it's not. It's somehow worse than it was last year.
And it's more alarming to me, it's worse than it was like a month ago.
Yeah.
That's really problematic.
Yeah, you know, they've gone backwards. And they've gone backwards despite surrounding Caleb Williams with, you know, a first-round draft pick in Roma Dunze and a big-money extension guy in DJ Moore and a trade. And then you pay Keenan Allen $23 million. You're already paying Cole Kmet 4 years at $50 million. Boy, you've got a lot of high-priced weapons there, and they're all to a man. Everybody who played in the NFL last year was having a better year last year than they are this year. You have an offensive line that on Sunday played one Week 1 starter, and that was center Coleman Shelton because everybody else was hurt. And you have a quarterback that – this is what's the most disturbing thing to me is – you have a quarterback who's getting sacked 9 times, and you just hope that you're not scarring him for the future. Because I think I've gotten to the point where anything that happens the rest of this season probably ain't going to matter that much.
And not at 4-5 and with all the hard games coming.
Right.
I mean, just unfathomable to lose at home to New England knowing it was your last chance, last really, really gift-wrapped chance to build up some margin before. I'm telling you, the rest of the season is hard.
Yeah.
There are no like it. You got all of them. The Bears got a very balanced schedule in terms of good teams and bad teams, and all the bad teams, you're already through them.
Yep.
The worst team you will play the rest of the season, most likely, is a Thursday night home game against the Seahawks, and I have not seen the Seahawks be a joke.
No.
Ever.
That's the night.
Really, ever.
Yeah, the night after Christmas. It's what was encouraging about the schedule when it came out was that you just hoped that by the middle of the season, Caleb Williams would be 5 times the quarterback he was in Week 1,
mm-hmm.
and that he would elevate the team to the level where they could at least compete with the Packers twice, the Lions twice, the Vikings twice, the 49ers, and the Seahawks. Boy, he's somehow worse in a weird way. I mean, they averaged fewer yards per play on Sunday than they did in the opener against the Titans.
Which was such a weird game.
Which set offensive football back 20 years. It's just a real bad situation here, Jason.
You start with Matt Eberflus. I mean, right. And Caleb. Hey, if you're about to tune out of this right now, let me be really clear. Caleb Williams plays his part in this.
Yep.
Caleb Williams has not played up to expectations, independent of everything else going on around him, and he would agree with that. What grade would you give Matt Eberflus through 9 games at 4-5?
D, probably.
D is being pretty nice.
Well, I mean, he, again...
It's not good.
Again, he calls the plays on a defense that is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
He is good at the one thing he was supposed to be good at coming in, although he's the head coach and he has responsibility for everything. Shane Waldron, I think, would get an F. And, you know, maybe we transition to Shane a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Just
he's on the list. Don't worry.
He's... I think where they dovetail is... that if you're going to change something, and I think you have to, Jason, you've led for 25 seconds over the last 3 games. You had no touchdowns in back-to-back games for the first time in 20 years in Chicago. And that's saying something given how bad their offenses are. I think if you're going to change something, I think the finger gets pointed at Shane Waldron before it does Matt Eberflus.
They'd be more than justified to fire Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron. A lot of teams would. I think you're right. They're probably not going to fire Matt Eberflus, and Shane Waldron becomes a way to pacify everyone. Also, it's necessary.
Yeah.
I don't know that necessarily they'll fire Shane Waldron, or would they keep him on in some kind of, you know?
Yeah, just change his role.
Hey, you're going to do something here. You're going to file papers or answer phones or whatever.
Which has helped with game planning during the week. Like that's he and Thomas Brown can switch jobs.
You can get Thomas Brown's coffee, pick up his dry cleaning. You're going to earn that money doing something. It's really alarming to see how bad the offense has been, to see that there's still a clear disconnect between Shane Waldron and the players when, Pat, they did their due diligence on this. I mean, man, were they thorough in interviewing people and bringing in candidates and really had the strictest criteria they could, given that they were not hiring for the head job, so they were not going to be able to get the top candidates that were going to take head coaching jobs, the Ben Johnson types.
Yeah.
And this is what they came up with?
They interviewed 8 people in person. All of them got either coordinator or pass game coordinator jobs in the NFL this offseason. They claimed that Shane Waldron was their first choice, the only one they brought back to Hallis Hall for further interviews. They liked the fact that he came with... you know, offensive coordinator experience. The big problem with Luke Getsy, in retrospect, was that he'd never done it before.
No play calling experience and a one-dimensional creative mind in terms of the run game.
Yeah, he can draw up a run play. And they bring him in, and it's just it's not working, and it's not working to the point to where veterans have been loud about it. You know, in week 2, they go to Shane Waldron, they talk about, hey, let us cook, you know. Comes out after the Jaguars win, which was, in theory, the feel-good moment of the year, that, you know, Waldron wasn't doing kind of your traditional 15-play script for the starts of games, so that players asked him to please kindly start doing that. And he did. And then you have this regression of the offense for the last 3 weeks. It's a mess. I don't want to discount the fact that the players are getting their butts kicked, too, because the player, especially in the trenches, the Bears are getting their butts kicked. And that's not all scheme. Some of that is just, can you do your job or not? But the fact that they're not prepared, the fact that they're the worst team in the first quarter in the NFL by a mile, all of these are, the fact that they get all these pre-snap penalties, all of these are signs that they're not very well coached.
They were getting them today on situations like 3rd and 4, 4th and 4, like pivotal times. These pre-snap penalties make it so much harder. If you want to talk about the players, I mean, the offensive line has not been good. I know it was beat up today and getting worse now, probably, with Tevin Jenkins. He was in a boot after the game. That unit has not been good. And I would say the next problems would be Caleb Williams and DeAndre Swift.
Yep.
DeAndre Swift, I don't know what he is thinking other than spin move, spin move, spin move when he gets the ball. And there are a lot of times where that doesn't seem to be necessary. And he is just not a reliable guy for you to get 3 or 4 yards when you need it. He's a guy where he's going to go for 50. He's trying for 50-yard runs every time.
Right.
And what percentage of the time is he going to get that? He's going to get it sometimes. But, man, are a lot of drives stalling on these DeAndre Swift runs. And then you have Caleb, and you talk about the scars that this season could leave. I think I started to see them the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You're seeing in the tail end of the Arizona game, in the second half of the Arizona game, rather, you see him get sacked 3 plays in a row. You see him get sacked hit at the end of the Arizona game that gives him an actual physical injury. And then today there was a play toward the end of the game where he got sacked and he kind of just got thrown down on that side of the field.
Yep.
As we look out over Soldier Field.
Jason points toward the Bears sideline.
Well, I'm kind of signaling to you, Pat, to see if you kind of remember the play.
Yeah, he
kind
of gets body slammed.
He kind of just is laying there on his side, and he just kind of like slaps his leg. Like, what am I I'm interpreting it as, well, what am I supposed to do?
Right.
What am I supposed to do? I'm dropping back every play, and immediately there's people here. And this isn't even one of the good pass rushes.
Right.
This is the Patriots. I mean, they've got nobody.
He acknowledged after the game that some of the sacks were on him, and he's right. He needs to throw ball away.
Especially on third down when you cost yourself a field goal.
This is the second time in, 3 weeks he's done that, where on third and manageable, when the Bears are in field goal range, he decides to run backwards to avoid a pass rush, gets sacked, and the Bears have to punt.
It almost doesn't matter what the rush situation is. You have got to get the ball somewhere.
Yeah.
And anything.
And to his, I guess to his credit, he comes out and says it, at least. But, you know, I'm afraid that he's going to start seeing ghosts here pretty quick. And if he hasn't already, he hasn't looked comfortable since London. I challenge you to find me a possession where he looked comfortable. Even at the end when they rallied in Washington, remember, the big deep ball to DJ Moore, he had a 300-pound guy land on top of him as he threw it. Like, the Bears haven't had easy throws that were open. He has not settled for the easy throw, which is a shot at him. He needs to settle for the easy throw. And they just have been under duress the whole time, Jason. And, he was asked today whether changing a play caller would matter. And he essentially says, we're not going to reinvent the wheel here.
He was asked if he could adapt to it. But that is how he answered.
Yeah, and he said, we're not going to reinvent the wheel here. So, whatever they do fundamentally is going to be the same West Coast stuff they've been doing. But, boy, you just wonder whether there is somebody who could sequence those plays in a way that makes sense. Because right now it doesn't make sense.
There's part of my philosophy that says you don't want to change anything big during this guy's rookie season. Because that's a lot of instability. That's a lot of upheaval. He's still trying to figure out the speed of the game. He's trying to learn NFL defenses. He has a better chance, as hard as it might have been to feel this way the last couple of weeks, he has a better chance of making this work than coming in and changing things. But I'm at a point now where this is not doing him any good.
Right.
8 more games that look kind of like this will not help him develop. He will end the season minimally further along than he is now. They have got to change something. This is a bare minimum ask. And when you talk about him not looking comfortable the last 3 weeks, that's really, really scary, Patrick, because they haven't played anybody defensive-wise. They haven't played anyone truly scary. They came out of a bye, played the Commanders, who at the time, I'm not sure where they are now, but at the time were kind of a mid-tier defense, like a fine kind of middle of the road NFL defense, and the Cardinals, who were probably one of the lesser defenses, and the Patriots, who are a bottom tier defense. They have not played anybody really scary defensively in those 3 games that you're referring to.
I was trying to make a list the other day of the best defensive ends edge rushers that they faced all year. Jared Verse was really good.
He was really good.
Will Anderson, really good.
He's awesome.
And then, the Titans had a couple of defensive linemen that were really good. That's a month ago. Like Jared Verse was, 5 weeks ago, Jason? They haven't had to face anybody who's scary in a month and a half. And now everybody left's got somebody who's good. I had this thought also that, in a weird way, do you think that if Caleb had rolled his ankle or gotten the stomach flu or whatever at halftime, would that have been necessarily the worst thing for him or for the Bears. I feel like every snap he plays is a referendum on everything. And you just wonder, and you need to keep playing him. You absolutely, there's no way you do anything but keep playing him. But boy, you just wondered if bringing in Bajent, just a guy who in theory knows where the ball's going and has seen a little bit before. Just to take a little bit of the panic out of the place, I thought might not have been the worst thing in the world if fate had dealt them that card.
Yeah,
that's a horrible sign.
I don't think that's a decision that you want to make if you're the Bears and you're the Bears, you're very intent on doing this the right way.
Right.
As they have been the whole time. Their process overall with Caleb Williams has been pretty good. I to your point, though, somewhat agreeing with the point of what you're saying, again, this isn't accomplishing anything. I really don't know what he got out of this game.
More NFL experience, I guess. And if that's the top thing on our list, that is not good. Jason, we are sitting here in the early evening at the Soldier Field press box. The next team to come through here is the Green Bay Packers. This thing's probably only going to get uglier before it gets better. How long do you think the veterans here will hang on to the rope?
Well, they said Sunday they were still, you know, the players either not like now it's gotten to the point of direct questions about are you on board with Matt Eberflus or do you support this coaching staff? However it's phrased, yeah. There was a lot of that asked today in the locker room, and there was either players avoiding the topic or saying that they support Eberflus and Waldron. I cannot imagine if you polled the locker room there would be better than 50% support for Waldron. It is going to get harder and harder, difficult as this is to imagine, because it looks hard now, to hold this together if you're Matt Eberflus, as the losses are almost certain to pile up on you now.
This is a team that is really quick to say that they are a player-led team. We'll see how the players lead, because if it is, you know, if they back up what they say, in theory, they shouldn't come apart, but these are veterans who have played enough football that they probably know a sinking ship when they see one. And whether that, you know, swallows up Caleb Williams along the way, we shall see.
How do you walk in there Monday morning if you're Matt Eberflus and tell them that you're sticking with Waldron?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, the only sell here is that you the only sell, Jason, is that you walk in and say, we need to fix 1,000 things, but, you know, we believe in the people we have here. Like, and I don't think that's going to get him anywhere. I don't know whether giving Thomas Brown the keys to the car is going to grab the locker room all of a sudden. But
I don't know that solves it either. You know, there's limited options of what you can do right now.
Right, and the only reason Brown's name comes up is he's really the one guy on staff who has experience calling offensive plays at the NFL level, and even that didn't go very well. He was the coordinator off and on with Carolina last year, and all they did was finish last in the league in yards. So
I'm not judging anybody on what happens when they're in Carolina.
Well, I mean,
I can't
maybe
put a grade on that. That is dysfunction at its peak.
Yeah, it's. I think you need to do something. I think that I don't know what firing Matt Eberflus midseason accomplishes. I don't know if, you know, if you think that Richard Hightower being the head coach and Eric Washington being the defensive coordinator and every single staffer who's still here knowing that they need to get their resumes out, I don't know if that helps your rookie quarterback. But continuing to do what they've been doing is the definition of insanity. So we'll see. We'll see.
It's gotten them nowhere, and this schedule is only getting harder.
Yeah.
I mean, whether you were on board with this or not, you could acknowledge there was a – it was a decent case to fire Matt Eberflus at the end of last season.
The case to fire him at the end of last season was to pair Caleb with an offensive with a play calling head coach, and the two of them would grow together.
That was part of it. And now you are setting yourself up to where, even if I can't picture the Bears firing Matt Eberflus right now, I cannot at all imagine that he's coaching this team in 2025 right now.
Yeah.
If you do that, it's going to be the same thing you did to Mitch and to Justin, where it's a new coach coming in, stuck with the old quarterback. The one difference this time is you would assume there'd be a line out the door of people that want to coach Caleb Williams because of his potential.
Yeah, I think every coach walking the earth would sign up for Caleb Williams. I mean, especially when you look around the league, the Saints job's going to be open. The Raiders job might be open. You know, what are the, maybe the Jaguars? I mean, you know, I think Caleb's a more attractive quarterback project than any of those guys, including Trevor Lawrence.
What does that tell you about Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron, that you think that of Caleb Williams, yet this is all the better he's gotten halfway through the year?
They haven't ruined Caleb enough for me yet. Yeah, that's what it says. Yeah, Jason, there'll be plenty to talk about as the week goes on, and we will be here to do it. Until then, people can follow you and Mark and myself on social media. Check us out at the Sun-Times website and on the app. And if you live in town, please buy a newspaper. He's Jason Leisure. I'm Pat Finley. We will be back again real soon.